Well, good morning, everybody. So glad to see those of you who are present in the room, as well as to be able to be with you who are at home. We look forward to worshiping together today, to celebrating what Jesus Christ has accomplished, and the fact that He has brought us joy. Joy. Let's pray. Lord God Almighty, this morning we're in need of You. Need of what You've done, need of who You are, need of what You offer to us. We ask that this morning we'd have hearts opened up by the power of Your Holy Spirit so that we might receive what it is You have for us, so that we might be changed by our encounter here together with You and with one another. We invite You, Holy Spirit, to illuminate our thinking and to reinforce our beliefs, strengthen our belief, and give us the ability, Lord, to walk in faith with You. We ask that You would guard our time right now, that You would silence the enemy, and that You would open up our ability to respond, to receive and respond to You. We praise in Jesus Christ's holy name. Amen. Well, I believe today that God wants you to walk out of here more encouraged than when you walked out. Let's get that straight. More encouraged when you walk out than when you walked in. And that your brain might be more able to think straight and those kind of things. At least that's what I'm hoping for myself. God wants to do something in us. We don't just go through motions. We enter into worship and we focus on God so that our ability, our brain, our heart, our soul is able to respond to God. And we're changed by the encounter. God wants to give you something today. So I encourage you to have an attitude of receptivity and an anticipation as if you're reaching out to grab something from God. Just as on Christmas Eve or morning, depending upon your tradition, when a gift is offered to you, you want to grab it. You want to open it. You want to tear the wrapping off and the tape off and then reach in and pull out what it is and claim it as your own, saying thank you to the giver. Well, the same type of thing goes on inside of us. As God is offering, we want to be receiving from Him. And so I believe God wants to give you joy today. Anybody need some joy today? Anybody in need of an extra measure of joy today? In a crazy year like we've had, I believe that the offer of joy is even more powerful. In fact, as the world gets crazy, as heartache and hurt might increase, the good news of the gospel stands out even more starkly. And what God is doing in our world might be exactly what's necessary to awaken us to what God has to offer us. It might be exactly what's necessary for some of the people you love to finally stop chasing the world's dreams and turn their heart towards God. What an exciting time to be alive as we see things being shaken so that we can receive what cannot be shaken. Our theme this Advent season and on into the new year is going to be that the kingdom of God is at hand. We want to have our eyes open to see it and receive it. Today we want to talk about how the kingdom of God is at hand to offer us joy. Joy. Think about how the Old Testament predicted joy. We had the privilege over the last 2 years to journey through each of the books of the Old Testament, and time after time we see the joy of the Lord being talked about, being predicted, being proclaimed, that there would be this moment in the future when God would wrap things up and bring about His plan. He was predicting to the people year after year, prophet after prophet, that the joy of the Lord was about to break forth. We read about it a little bit in our call to worship from the book of Isaiah chapter 35. Let's look again at Isaiah 35. The context is in the time of the Babylonian captivity. The people of God, the southern kingdom, the Jewish people were taken off into captivity in Babylon. A time of great heartache, political upheaval. But in the middle of that proclamation about what's the heartache that the people are going through is this message of hope. Joy is right around the corner. Isaiah chapter 35, verse 1. The wilderness and the dry land shall be glad. The desert shall rejoice and blossom like the crocus. It shall blossom abundantly and rejoice with joy and singing. The glory of Lebanon shall be given to it, the majesty of Carmel and Sharon. They shall see the glory of the Lord, the majesty of our God. And that's just talking about what the land is going to go through. The land is going to have joy. The land is going to rejoice. So because of that, because of what's being predicted here, it says this to us: strengthen the weak knees. Make firm the feeble knees. Say to those who have an anxious heart, be strong, fear not. Behold, your God will come with vengeance, with the recompense of God. He will come and save you. An interesting statement that brings joy. The fact that God is coming with vengeance, the fact that God is coming to bring compensation for the hurts that have been felt and for the loss that's been incurred, the fact that God is coming to make things right and make things straight, that actually is a cause of joy to those who belong to the Lord. Yes, there's heartache for those that reject God. The vengeance of God does bring heartache and pain to those who refuse to believe in Him and turn towards Him. But for the believer, the fact that God is coming, that He's strong and mighty, and He's coming with vengeance and recompense and coming to save, brings us joy. Verse 5 goes on to say, then the eyes of the blind shall be opened and the ears of the deaf unstopped. Then shall the lame man leap like a deer and the tongue of the mute sing for joy. By the way, after I'm done preaching, I'm going to give you an opportunity, all you mute men, to sing for joy. To sing the song, Joy to the World. So if you have a little trouble getting joy to come out of your tongue, joy to come out of your mouth, you got an opportunity in just a few minutes. And if you're at home, I encourage you to sing to yourself the words to that great hymn, Joy to the World. We want to have lips that are no longer mute, but lips that are singing for joy because of what God has accomplished for us. Verse 7, the burning sand shall become a pool, and the thirsty ground springs of water. In the haunt of jackals, where they lie down, the grass shall become reeds and rushes, and a highway shall be there, and it shall be called the Way of Holiness. The unclean shall not pass over it. It shall belong to those who walk on the way. Even if they are fools, they shall not go astray. No lion shall be there, nor shall any ravenous beast come upon it. They shall not be found there, but the redeemed of the Lord shall walk there. That's you, and that's me. The way of holiness, a way for the redeemed of the Lord to walk without fear of ravenous beast, without fear of harm. It goes on to conclude in verse 10, and the ransomed of the Lord, those bought out of slavery, those purchased out of their enslavement, the ransomed of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with singing. Everlasting joy shall be upon their heads, and they shall obtain gladness and joy, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away forever. That's just one example of throughout the Old Testament, the joy of the Lord is predicted. What were they looking forward to? They were looking forward to Christmas finally arriving. They were looking forward to that day when God's plan of salvation would start unfurling and becoming more and more present and reality in their midst. They longed for it. And the longing for it brought them joy because it was a prediction that was a promise that would be fulfilled. And so you and I at this time, just like the Old Testament saints, can have an increase of joy as we see, as we read, as we experience the predictions of God to what's going to happen. Do you know what's around the corner? Good stuff. No ravenous beasts, no disease, no heartache, no sorrow, no sighing, but a time of rejoicing in the Lord with gladness and everlasting joy. That's predicted. Let it increase your joy. So the Old Testament predicted it. But then on that first Christmas Eve, the angel proclaimed it. The angel proclaimed it. I'm looking at my confirmation kids taking good notes back there. So what do we have first? Our first P was that the Old Testament predicted it. And our second P was that the angels proclaimed joy. What did the angels say? In Luke chapter 2, we see the first Christmas Eve being talked about. The first paragraph is the actual child being born, Jesus being born, wrapped in swaddling cloths. And then in verse 8, at that moment when the birth of Christ occurred, the angels broke through the threshold, that thing that separated the spiritual realm from the earthly realm. Suddenly there was a magnificent choir of angels that burst into the visible. And of course the shepherds were terrified as all of a sudden that happened around them and filled with great fear. In verse 10, like most angelic proclamations, it starts with, "Fear not." It goes on to say this, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy." That's what the angel said. He'd been maybe waiting for a millennium to make that announcement. Maybe the Lord God Almighty, commander of the hosts of the heavenly armies, proclaimed to this angel, "I've got an assignment for you. When the moment is right, I want you to go to earth, break into the visible realm, and make this statement." Of course, start with "fear not," because they're going to be trembling idiots. That always happens when you angels show up. But then go on to give this message. "Behold, I bring you great news." Good news of great joy. Great joy. That's what Christmas is. Great joy. Now, your Christmas plans might have been changed. Just yesterday, I got the news that my son and daughter-in-law will not be able to join us for our Christmas celebration. It's the Kangas year. It should be happening at my house this year, but it's going to be modified because of COVID issues and their job policies and how one sniffle one day results in a week of quarantine for the sniffling person and 2 weeks of quarantine for the person that was next to the sniffling person. And it's crazy as it is, it makes it difficult for some people to be able to travel this year. So my Christmas plans have been changed. So obviously I can't have any joy, right? Because once your human-made plans get changed, then joy's out the window, right? Or once the circumstances you had been relying upon or the dreams you've been putting all your hopes in are dashed or crushed, then your joy is gone, right? Isn't that what happens to us? But is that far below what God really wants for us? Isn't it true that God has a joy that's so profound and so real that it superintends over and supersedes all that stuff that's happening at the earthly realm? Just as angels broke forth and proclaimed to shepherds sleeping on ground covered with sheep droppings, so your life at times can get kind of stinky, but God has a message to bring of great joy. Great joy that's bigger than the mess. Great joy that's bigger than the stink and the smell. Great joy that's better and bigger than the hurts and the heartaches and the tragedies and the changes. Great joy. Great joy was proclaimed by the angels. So I don't know who's the angels in our Christmas program that's going to be here next hour, but think of that as you make your statement, and think about it when you listen to the actor, that the angel says, "I've got good news of great joy." Great joy was proclaimed by the angels. But then that great joy was purchased by Christ Jesus himself on the cross. Great joy was purchased as Christ, the babe, grew up and lived a sinless, perfect life and then willingly allowed himself to be taken to the cross and there on the cross intentionally gave his very life. It wasn't taken from him. The criminals that hung on either side of him had to have their legs broken so that they would be hanging there limp and would die of suffocation. Jesus died days, hours, even maybe days earlier than predicted because he gave his life intentionally as the Lamb of God, the atonement, the sacrifice that purchased our joy. Christ on the cross purchased your joy. See, what the angel proclaimed was that I've got good news of great joy for you. But what did he go on to say? He said, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people." And then the reason. "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior." A Savior. A Savior. Yes, a baby was born. Yes, a Messiah was born. Yes, God with us was born. But that child is God, and God became our Savior by being the perfect infusion of divinity and humanity together to make the Christ child, the God man, who would be the one and only one capable of dying in our place and purchasing your joy, your salvation, your freedom from all sin. The purchase of your joy was accomplished on the cross. And yes, it's good to think of the manger, but go through the manger all the way to the altar and the cross behind, because there we see the picture of God played out for us, that one is there to lead to the other. Jesus purchased your joy on the cross. But then it goes further. For Jesus' purchase of your joy might be like a present sitting under the tree unopened. It needs to go a step further in each of our lives. For just as it was predicted in the Old Testament through all the prophets, and just as it was proclaimed by the angel on that first Christmas day, and just as your joy was purchased on the cross by Christ, now the Holy Spirit proffers to each of us. Proffers. It's maybe an old word for some of our youth. It's like the word offer, but it has that sense of extension to it. A proffer is something being handed to you so that you could take it if you want it. The Holy Spirit proffers to you the joy of the Lord. He's extending it out to you. And he's saying, here it is. God Almighty in heaven planned all this out. Christ on the cross purchased it for you. And now God the Holy Spirit is proffering to you this joy of the Lord. See, I think there are Christians who have put their faith in Christ who have never reached out and grabbed what the Holy Spirit is proffering to them. The peace and the love, but yes, the joy of the Lord. A Christian who has the Holy Spirit living inside of them can now grab a hold of all that the Holy Spirit is proffering to them and can grab a hold of joy. Today, right now, joy is being extended to you. How many are willing to reach out a hand of faith and grab it? Reach out a hand of faith and grab it. No, don't settle for two hands. Reach out, or one hand, reach out two hands. Reach out with every ounce of strength you have and grab a hold of what the Holy Spirit is proffering to you right now. The joy of the Lord. Oh yeah, it's been a dreary, cloudy, even foggy week. Maybe you haven't seen the sun, and maybe some of your plans have been dashed. Maybe you're tired of waking up in the dark and eating supper in the dark. Maybe you're allowing things to rob you of your joy. But right now, right here, God the Holy Spirit is proffering to you the joy of the Lord. Grab it. There's one more P word I want you to put into your mental notes or your notepaper. The Holy Spirit not just proffers joy to you, but the Holy Spirit wants to perfect that joy. The Scriptures talk about God bringing perfect peace. And this joy of the Lord, this everlasting, this eternal joy is without any limitation. Eternal, everlasting joy is perfected in us as we participate with and cooperate with and allow the Holy Spirit to do that in us. We grab it and we continually ask for the Holy Spirit to infuse His goodness and His abundance into it so that this peace that He's giving to us is perfected in us. Perfect peace that God has produces eternal, everlasting joy in us so that joy is without any limitation. You can have joy unending this Christmas season. Joy unending. Isn't that what Jesus was talking about on his Sermon on the Mount? Isn't that what he was talking about as he's telling the people there that's really an upside-down kingdom? That things aren't the way you think they're going to be? That things that the Holy Spirit is doing in you are going to cause your world to be seen in a way that seems to be a reversal? So that the things that are shaken get shaken away, and the things that are eternal, the things that last forever? In Matthew chapter 5, verse 11, Jesus said, "Blessed are you when others revile you, persecute you, utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice." Rejoice. That's craziness, isn't it? In terms of our world's standards, in terms of the way the world seems to work, in terms of the way our own emotions seem to work. But Jesus said this, so I think we should think about it again before we write it off. Jesus said, "You're blessed when others revile you, persecute you, and utter all kinds of evil against you, falsely on my account." Matthew 5:11. How could that be true? Because of something called everlasting joy. Because of what the Old Testament predicted and the angels proclaimed and what Christ purchased on the cross and what the Holy Spirit is now proffering to us and wants to perfect in us. Because God Almighty is producing this joy in us, our world is different. Our experience is different from the lost people. Jesus says, in an upside-down world, when persecution and reviling happen, you can have joy. Verse 12, "Rejoice and be glad. Your reward is great in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you." In other words, our heavenly perspective changes the way we process and handle earthly disappointments. The reality of what God has given to us, His everlasting joy, becomes something that's more powerful than the circumstances that are being shaken. We have a joy that's unshakable because of what Christ has accomplished in the supernatural realm that's breaking forth into the earthly realm. Just as angels broke forth and suddenly appeared and proclaimed joy, so now Christ's power is breaking forth and producing joy. Now, I'm not saying that when you go home, there's not going to be heartache or sorrow this week. But I'm saying that the joy of the Lord that the Holy Spirit is producing in you will be greater than those things. The joy of the Lord that's everlasting is more powerful and more able to withstand the upheavals than anything the world would attempt to put upon us. Psalmist wrote, "Let the heavens rejoice, let the earth be glad, let the sea resound and all that is in it. Let all creation rejoice before the Lord, for he comes to judge the earth. He will judge the world in righteousness and his people with faithfulness." We can trust that God is in charge and we can respond with joy. Towards the end of his ministry, Jesus made this proclamation to his disciples. He had taught them all these truths about what he had come to accomplish and how he really was there not just to set up a temporary earthly kingdom, but to purchase joy for them. And as he explained these things to them, and they were starting to engage them a little bit more, he said in John chapter 15, verse 11, "I've told you these things so that you will be filled with joy. Yes, your joy will overflow." Overflowing joy. That's the plan of Christ for you today. Will you receive it? He's proffering it to you. Let's take it by faith. Let's pray. Lord God Almighty, we are people in need of something supernatural. The realm in which we live is not capable of fulfilling the deep parts of our being because we were made for the eternal. we were made in your image with a part of us that's supposed to last forever in your presence. And so, Lord, do what you alone can do. Produce your supernatural joy in us by being our Savior, by purchasing our redemption and therefore our joy on the cross. And enable us, Lord, to have this thing from you that enables us to respond in faith, produce faith in us that reaches out and grabs a hold of what you're offering to us, grabs a hold of you as Savior, grabs a hold of you as eternal Lord, and grabs a hold of all the fruit and all the characteristics that you want to produce in us. And particularly, Lord, today, produce this everlasting joy in us. We grab it. We grab it by faith. Faith that's greater than the eyes that see only the natural. Faith that's greater and sees beyond the veil into the very eternal and the things that last forever. Lord, by faith, we grab hold of that joy right now. We grab it. And now perfect it in us, Holy Spirit. Cause that joy to increase and be magnified in us. Cause it to become larger and larger so that it's bigger than all the things the devil might throw our way. Give us the ability to walk through each and every day as we walk closer and closer to the end of this year with joy that is overflowing. Cause the joy to overflow every bad announcement and every negative newscast. Cause that joy to be greater than all the things that might cause fear or trembling in the people who are of the world, but in us, we'll see them as simply things that are all under the sovereign grace of God. Give us joy that's greater. Joy that's greater. Joy because it's eternal joy. And it sees what you've accomplished and your plans will be completed. Give us that joy. We pray in Christ's holy name. Amen.